Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we are going to dive back into the clairsenses. This is going to be part two of our clairsenses series because we couldn't get through everything in the first episode. I think we got through five. So in this episode, we're going to dive into the other four clairsenses and maybe throw a couple other onto the list, depending on how this conversation goes, starting with clairsentience. I think we left off with clairempathy, and there was a lot around clairempathy. That's probably going to be its own separate episode, just because under the clairempathy category, there's like, what, eight or nine subcategories of clairempathy? Ten.
I found 10.
Holy moly. Okay, so there's 10 subcategories of clairempathy under clairempathy, which is crazy. That's crazy. But yeah, so that's going to be for a future episode.
Empathy is definitely... Just a recap on empathy real quick from last week. Empathy, being an empath is, I call it a blessing and a curse. And many people who I've met who are empaths really don't like it for good reason. And in a lot of ways, to a lot of people, it is a curse until you learn how to manage that energy and set those boundaries. And you need to learn how to not take on other people's emotions and energy. And it's practice. You have to consciously put work into it or you're really going to struggle. And that's why we want to have a separate episode regarding empathy and being an empath, because I'm an empath and I struggled with it. I kind of struggled with it. I kind of didn't. Like, my boundary was not leave my apartment. I was just like, well, if I'm not outside and not interacting with people, then I don't have to take on their emotions and feelings. But that also becomes very lonely. And so I decided I needed to work on myself and find a better way to move forward, because being a complete recluse, I say all the time, everything is about balance. I help my clients find balance, because extremes, it's no way to live. I just want to put it out there that if you are an introvert, what I mean by balance, and I'm going to use Tiara's as an example, what I mean by balance is what you do with your time when you're an introvert. And I'm totally there with Tiara. Like, I actually went from an extrovert to being very introverted. So that's been an interesting shift. But I can tell you that with Tiara specifically, because we know, if you've listened to our previous episode, she is like a beast and a workhorse. And so it's okay to be introverted, but her activities that she chose was very like burnout style because of that nature of like, you know, wanting to be the best at things and
type A. I admit.
Right, exactly. And like working a full-time job and having two side hustles. So it's totally fine to be introverted. But what you do with that time while you're being a recluse matters. And that has led to Tiara's, like, you know, current situation where the universe is just like, I think you need to shift focus a little bit. And I think you need to try to pick up a new hobby. And I think you need to go socialize and, you know, try something new because you've been at this for 5 years.
Yes, and I was very irritated about it, but I'm trying to shift, you know, I'm heeding the message, heeding the call, so that's what I'm doing, and, you know, so far so good. I'm still going to try out some different things and see if I find a hobby or a new hobby that I really like, maybe dancing. You know, I do like dancing. It's just, dancing requires a lot of energy, and for the past couple weeks, I just haven't had any, so it was kind of questionable, but I'm hoping as my energy improves that I can, like, I don't know, get into some salsa, bachata, voguing, since I love that so much too. So we'll see.
So that's just my message about being introverted. It does matter what you do with your time and where you put your energy. And even if you are introverted, it is important to find balance with even being an introvert on top of finding balance with, you know, deciding to be a recluse or a hermit and, you know, needing to get out there and socialize. Because it's a, as human beings, as a species, we're not meant to be hermits indoors. Like, we're very, you know, we're a very community-based species, and we've lost that.
We absolutely have. And honestly, that could probably be its own episode. Let me add that to the list.
So we are going to dig back into the clairsenses. And clairsentience is clear physical feeling. This is probably the clair that I have least experience with it. With. I definitely have had experiences where I have felt other people's physical pain before, and I gotta tell you, it is weird. It's a trip. It's like, especially if you're like in close proximity or if you have like an open channel or an open connection with that person, you just feel what they're feeling. And I gotta tell you, it's kind of like a freaky Friday situation where you're just like, your body doesn't feel like your own. And you're just kind of like, what's going on here? Like, I was feeling fine, and now all of a sudden, like, I have actually have experienced that with a friend who had horrible, like, menstrual cycles, and I was at her house one day and I felt her menstrual cramps. And I was like, why am I having menstrual cramps? It's not my cycle. What's going on? And I was like, are you okay? She was like, no. She's like, I'm having a horrible menstrual cycle. And I was just like, holy shit. I'm feeling that physically in my body. I don't like this. I don't know why I'm feeling this, but this needs to end right now.
Wow. Clairsentience is really interesting because it's not just like you can physically feel in your body what others are feeling. But I think this also includes like receiving information, whether it's like from a spirit or an entity or emotions, that manifest as physical sensations like touch or feeling. Because I've experienced both.
Touch. Touch in what way?
Like someone touching me, but there's not one there physically, but it was tied to information I was receiving about a situation with this entity. It was like, I want to say it was maybe another timeline or like past life, or I don't know, but it was almost like I was seeing or experiencing details of a past memory with this entity. And I felt myself being grabbed, like my arm being grabbed. And I have never been able to figure out what clair is this to feel that linked to a prior life or like another entity or another timeline. I think what had happened is like, for reference, this entity and I were caught in a very toxic cycle for thousands of years. And in one of the lifetimes, he was, I think it was physical abuse, and he had grabbed my arm. And I physically felt my arm being grabbed. And that's how I knew what was going on in the memory I was seeing, or the visions I was having in regards to the situation. And it was really, really fascinating. I don't think I've experienced anything to that degree prior or since, honestly. I have had something like this linked to my husband's. We're separated, but we have experienced this in many different ways. Usually what happens is like I'll stub my toe or like bang my elbow or, you know, injure myself in some way. And then he feels the symptom in his body in the exact same area. And we have experienced that for years and years and years. And it was just something that eventually we just got used to because it was happening so frequently. And it would, on his end, it would happen and I would feel it. On my end, it would happen and he would feel it. And it's so, so bizarre. And it's weird because you can't really share this stuff to other people because they look at you like you're insane. And I think he had tried to explain it to his mother one time and his mom like stared at him. So so it's just one of those weird things that I think it's one of the more rare clairs. I don't know, but a lot of people don't seem to grasp this very well.
Well, I wonder if we can use this as an example as well. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like, you know, if like women are living together or if like you spend a lot of time with them at work, then your menstrual cycles will randomly sync. Like, do you know phenomenon?
Yes, that's actually a real documented phenomenon. It has something to do with pheromones. Like, apparently, when a bunch of women come together, the bodies talk to each other. It's fucking weird. I don't know. And the alpha female, whoever that ends up being, is the one whose cycles get synced with. So, like, everyone's cycles sync with the alpha female. And I don't know what determines that, like what makes one woman the alpha. I don't know. But yeah, that is a real thing.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So I wonder if this is also like tied to this Claire.
That would be interesting. Maybe it is. I always thought it was like biological because, you know, I know pheromones are like a thing. So I always thought it was a biological thing, but maybe there's more to it.
I'm just saying, I mean, in this crazy world of endless possibilities, I mean, it definitely could be a possibility.
Oh, yeah. At this point, I think anything is possible.
Exactly.
Absolutely anything.
So it is really interesting because the other experience I had was last year. And I was ascending and when I was transitioning from one dimension to another, I remember like I would feel this very cold puff of wind like graze my nose. And that happened for like a few days. And I was just like every day I would just feel this cool puff of wind like graze my nose. And I was like, what the hell is this? Like, what is going on?
Did you ever figure out what that is or was?
Nope. To this day, nope.
Okay. Have you ever experienced walking and feeling like one raindrop fall on like your forehead or your face? Yeah.
Yes. And then there's no other rain anywhere to be found.
Yes. Okay. I've heard about a couple people experiencing that. And I've always wondered if it was like your guys or I don't know, like a higher source just kind of sending you a message or I don't know. It's just something I've experienced a couple times and I've never been able to make sense of it. And I wonder if it's tied to clairsentience in some kind of way.
I don't know, man. Like I said, a world full of possibilities, you guys. But I mean, these phenomenons happen.
So we're going to keep diving through the list. And the next one here is something called, this is one I haven't really heard of, but I know it's something that's real. It's called clairtangency, which means clear touching. And this is tied to people who can touch things or touch people and then perceive or receive information about them. And I think the most common and probably the easiest easiest example is when people hold hands And you can gain a bunch of insight about that person just by that one form of touch. Now, I have been able to do something like this with plants, specifically trees, where like I can touch the tree and gain insights about it, like if it's happy, if it likes where it is. It feels like channeling, but I have to touch the tree to get the information. So I'm wondering if this is actually what it is that I'm experiencing.
It very well could be. I actually tried that last week, actually. We were at a restaurant and there was this tree in this pot and we were actually having this exact conversation. And I was like, huh, you know what? I really haven't tried that. And I just like put my hand on the tree and like it was like communicating with me, like saying, like telling me how old it was and it didn't like being in the pot and how it wanted to be replanted. And I was just like, this is wild.
Yes. And I've seen this depicted in like pop culture, like on TV shows, or like the psychic is, you know, being used to help an investigation. And then they're like, with the cop, and then they might touch the crime scene and they glean all this information. And it's so funny because in, you know, those depictions, it's super overly dramatic. Like the guy is getting every single Claire just through touching. And he's like solving the entire investigation just through touching. And it's kind of funny. But I feel like this is something that people who have very strong psychic capabilities probably can take advantage of quite readily. Again, I haven't really done a lot of clairtangency, and what I've done has mostly just been trees. I haven't tried doing this with people. I mean, I'm sure I could. I actually had a masseuse therapist who did Reiki, reflexology. She was able to touch my body and like tell me things about what was going on with me in my endocrine system. And I was just like, oh, wow, you're gifted. So I know this is something that many people have. I'd be curious to know other ways that this has been used.
I love reflexology.
You know, I do too, but I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, unless you get to the core of the issue, it's only going to help you so much. Particularly if the issue is like emotional or rooted in trauma, because I'm of the belief that a lot of health conditions are energetically tied to emotion or trauma or wounding trapped in the body some kind of way.
Well, yeah, I think you could say that about like most practitioners and most fields, right? It's like they help either help point you in a direction or they help you find it. But if you don't work on it and if you don't clear it, then I mean, what good is knowing?
Right. That's what I mean. I think that when it comes to some of this stuff, a lot of us don't use it right. Like I know I didn't for a really long time. Like I would see the reflexologist or get a massage or do acupuncture and like it would resolve the issue for a little bit and then I'd have to go back. And I'm just like, you know, what's going on here? It was only recently through divine guidance that I realized that it was tied to repressed emotion. Thanks, Allie and Metatron.
You're welcome. So, Claire, tangency for me, I have this really like weird thing about, I don't really like to be touched. And part of the reason why I don't like to be touched is only because like, I mean, one, it's your personal space. So like if we're talking about like a 3D level, it's like, why are you touching me? Right? It's like, I barely know you. But if you're talking about in a 5D sense and like being a very, I don't know, just being empathic, it's just like because we feel what other people feel, it's like another reason why I definitely don't like being touched is because like I can take on that emotion, right? It's like touching is a very like close and personal energy exchange, whether people realize it or not.
So yeah, touching is very intimate.
It is. And it's just like, you know, it's not only intimate, but it's also very personal. And so like if you're especially like bringing it to the empathic side of things, it's like I can already read your energy from afar. And like the closer you are and the more like intimate you are, the more intense that energy grows. And so for me, like being an empath, I'm just like, please don't touch me, because I can already feel your energy. I can already read your energy. I already like know what's going on with you. And then if you touch me, it's just like I can physically take on some of that emotion. And it's just like it puts me just, it can alter my mood. It can shift my mood. And it's just like, for me, it's just a very uncomfortable place to be.
I guess I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum, because I'm like, if you want to touch me, then please go for it. You want to massage me, please go for it. I do not mind. You can rub my feet. You can rub my back. You can rub my legs. You can rub my hands. I will gladly accept that.
No, that's different. A massage is different. I'm just talking about like general people out in public, like you're in a public place. It's different, like versus like paying for a service like a massage or reflexology or whatever. That's way different than like being out in public and like, you know, people just randomly touching you.
I get that. And depending on what culture you're from, that's either accepted or it's like disgusts. Oh my God, I don't know the word for that. It's either accepted or rejected. So in America, we like our personal space and personal boundaries. I know in other countries, it's not unusual for that, for like every interaction to include touch or kissing or hugging,
right,
or closeness. So, you know, Allie, it could be a cultural thing.
Well, it's a cultural thing, but it's also an empathic thing for me.
Of course. So we're going to continue down the list. And this one is very interesting. It is one I have experienced, but not very well. I got to think about that a little bit. This one's called clairsalience. And clairsalience means clear smelling. So this is linked to being able to obtain insights through the perception of smell, or smelling something that's not perceivable to others, or maybe something that's not physical. So like the example given is like if you smell a perfume of a loved one, or like a cigar that your dead grandfather used to smoke or something like that, and you smell that even though they're not present, that's technically considered clairsalience.
Yeah, I had a lot of really interesting experience with this. So last year I got laser surgery on my eyes. And yes, laser surgery is like, I think it's PKR or PRK. I can never remember the acronym. And that's different from LASIK, but there's two types of eye surgery to correct your eyesight.
I had
just basic laser. So there's no like cutting of the cornea. I really wasn't feeling that. And so I went with the other procedure. Longer recovery, that's the only thing I don't like. But people say like if you lose a sense, then all your other senses become heightened. And I can speak from personal experience that is so true. Because I was like smelling things, like I would smell men's cologne. I was smelling like baked goods, like cookies, muffins. And I was just like, where are all these smells coming from? I'm the only one here. This doesn't make any sense.
Oh, how bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever link it to anything? Like any of those?
No.
Strange smells? Wow.
No.
Yeah, I have experienced this in like little bursts. Like I might smell something that's not there. It'll kind of like waft through my nose, and then I'll notice it, and then it disappears like just as fast as it appeared. So I have experienced this with like pleasant scents, like flowery scents, or like white rose. I've smelled a couple times, and it smells beautiful. Like it smells so nice. And I read somewhere that if you're smelling like the really flowery white flower type scents, but it can't be linked to anything, that it means it's tied to like an angel in your presence or something like that. I don't know how true that is. And then I've also smelled the opposite ends of like the really like gross, I don't know, like garbage maybe I've smelled before. Sometimes like just walking around minding my own business and I'll get a whiff of it and look around for like the source and see nothing. So I don't know what that's linked to, but if the nice scent is linked to angelic beings, and perhaps the grosser scents are linked to darker demonic beings, which I actually could see because I know people who have experienced demonic possession, like in their homes, will often report like a really gross sulfur scent or smell. So I have experienced both. And I think my mom can do this too, because she has mentioned being able to like smell things randomly out of nowhere. And I could swear that my mom has like the most keen sense of smell I've ever seen in any person. Like she could literally smell what's in the garbage dump like 5 miles away. Like that's how keen her sense is. So I'm wondering if what some of that is a clairsense.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I think I have also smelled the colognes, not as frequently as probably you have, but every once in a while. And often, like, at least for me, I'm never able to link it to anything or tie it to anything. Because I'm like, okay, well, I smell this, but I'd really like to know why and what this is linked to and what it means. But it's just like, for me, it's gone as fast as it's gone as fast as it was there.
Yeah, I don't know what it's linked to. I haven't really, honestly, I haven't put that much thought into it. My recovery for my eyes was longer than I was expecting. And so I just haven't really put much thought into like linking it or figuring out where it came from or why. But the fact that you say that they might be spirits, that wouldn't surprise me.
Right. Spirits or like the deceased. I think honestly, most frequently, that's what it is. Probably. In my opinion. Yeah. I think it's either spirits or the dead or maybe some other ethereal being or entity or elemental, or I don't know. I feel like it's linked to disembodied energies. And it's weird because it's like, okay, so when you die, does that scent stay with you forever? Like, does your spirit just, or soul, keep a scent for forever? Like, I don't know. I have so many questions.
We should make that a channeling thing.
No, we really should.
So going from Clairsalience?
Clairsalience.
Correct. To Clairgustance. These two actually kind of go hand in hand, I think.
It makes sense.
Clairgustance is clear tasting, essentially. So it's sensing things through taste, even without having the physical source of taste in your mouth. And so like for me, going back to my story about like how I could smell baked goods, like, you know, cupcakes, cookies, muffins, I could also taste that stuff in my mouth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. A lot of really interesting things happened during my recovery. And it's very, really interesting, like, you know, when you lose a sense, how all your other senses get heightened. And I think this is a real phenomenon. It's out there. There's been studies on it. And it makes sense, right? Because it's like, if you lose one of your five senses, then like your body needs to substitute, right? Like you need to find a way of survival. And I feel like your other senses get heightened to ensure like your safety.
Well, yeah, it's just like with the physical five senses, the same thing happens. If you lose vision, oftentimes hearing and touch will amplify. People who lose hearing, like, you know, the vision might amplify. So it makes total sense that the same thing would happen with the clair senses.
Well, that's what I was talking about. Like, I think the clair senses and the five physical senses in a lot of ways go hand in hand.
No, they definitely do. And, you know, I kind of view the clair senses as more of an extension of the same five senses, because For a long time, I was mistaken, and I was thinking like, okay, well, the clairs are completely different, right? Like they're a separate set of senses, but it's not necessarily true. It's more like another layer of the same senses, or like an extension of the same five senses, at least, you know, in my opinion.
No, I like how you say that, how they're an extension. I do believe that they are an extension, only because, I mean, what are the five physical senses? You have smell, touch, sight, hearing, and
taste.
And I mean, here we have clear tasting, clear smelling, clear touching, clear physical feeling, clear hearing, and clear seeing.
Right.
So I mean, I just listed like six that are basically very similar to the five physical senses that I just listed.
I think this one, the clairgustance, is the only one I've never experienced. And if I have experienced it, then I had no freaking idea. I don't know. I feel like the clairsalience and the clairgustance ones are the ones that are the most bizarre to me. I don't know why. I feel like it's just... There's something different about being able to taste something that's not there. I don't know. Like, you see what I mean?
I do see what you mean, but also you should, if you ever do decide to get, you know, like LASIK or laser surgery, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised with the things that other weird things that can happen, like when, you know, your eyesight is temporarily down.
Right. Right. So there's a couple others. They're not on this list. So this list came from, which resource is this? This was reikilifestyle.com. We're creating our own list too, just based on some of the things that we've experienced and learned. And that's going to be available if you decide to subscribe. But I go back and forth on whether these are clairsenses or not. And one of the examples is telekinesis. So I've seen a couple TikToks of people, usually men, who claim that they are telekinetic. So telekinetic is the ability to move things with your mind, right? Or like with your life force energy or with your chi. And there are a couple videos of people who take like the little pieces of aluminum and they'll like put them on a desk or like on a table. And then they'll like, you know, make them move with their mind or by like, you know, moving their hands, and then they go flying. And they will say, okay, if you want to get started in telekinesis, then this is how you start. You start with small things, and then you can move on to bigger things. I'm torn on whether what I am seeing in these videos is actually telekinesis. Now, it is kind of convincing. I'm not going to lie. Like a lot of things on TikTok, it's quite convincing. But like for me, I'm thinking, okay, we'll move that table or like move that chair. Or make that cup fly across the room. Like that, to me, is like telekinesis. So I don't know. This one's a big question mark because I don't know that this is necessarily anything that extends beyond science fiction yet.
Didn't you say that there was like videos or like tutorials of people teaching you how to do telekinesis?
Yes, I've seen it that way, where they will say, okay, you take little pieces of aluminum, fold them, put them on a table. I've also seen people use wind chimes or like, you know, those little spinning wind hanging things. I don't know what they're called. They're wind chimes, and then there's the other ones that are a little bit more complex and they're really pretty and they, you know, sparkle in the sun. That will use those and will teach you that way. And I've seen those on YouTube a lot. So there's interest in this, and, you know, maybe it's like a cult or like, I don't know, a niche interest. I'm not quite sure, but I have seen videos and tutorials of people teaching telekinesis. And apparently they say it's something anyone can do.
I've seen that where they say anyone can do it. And I think you and I have intended to try. We just haven't gotten
there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. It really is. And I don't know what the fascination is with telekinesis. I think it's just like, right now, it sits in the realm of science fiction, and it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, can we make this science facts? And it's intriguing. It really is.
So my question, if those videos are fakes, then they are most likely using magnets?
Magnets or like maybe fishing line or CGI. I don't know. But they're using something if they're fakes.
I wouldn't know what Claire that's tied to, so
I wouldn't either.
Telekinesis is like some mysterious, mystic thing to me.
It really is. And I think for a lot of us, it's such a foreign concept because, you know, we think telekinesis and our brain immediately goes, oh, that doesn't exist. Only in, you know, TV movies. It's very similar to telepathy, too, which is being able to read other people's thoughts or hear other people's thoughts. Now, there are some people who claim that they can do this. I've seen a couple of videos of people on TikTok who say that they can do this and that they hate it because, you know, the nature of humans, we think terrible things. That's terrible, but it's true. I have seen people claim that they can do this. Obviously, it's hard to prove that in a video that, you know, you're a telepath. But for me, particularly in 3D, this still exists in the realm of mostly science fiction for now.
Yeah, I haven't looked into those other types of spiritual gifts deeply enough to know.
Yes, these are just some of the ones that like I've seen off the top of my head, and I went back and forth on whether they fit into any type of Claire. I don't know that they're tied to any of the five senses, and that's the only thing that stopped me because I don't think they are. I think they're a separate set, assuming they do exist. I think they're a separate set of psychic abilities.
I mean, I would agree with you, but you also have to figure out, like, where are they using it in their life force? Because if these are if you're using your life force to move something, it's like, so it's a whole other set of skill where you're just like, okay, well, you're training yourself how to use your life force in very different ways.
Right. Well, and this is what they do with Qigong. I want to say it's Qigong. I have seen what's purported to be Qigong masters take their chi and do things like start fires or like project someone across the room or make someone fall. Again, purported. These are all on videos. These are, you know, masters of Qigong who, you know, they're wearing the traditional garb and they're just doing these incredible things. Again, don't know how real those videos are, but that would be the closest thing to projecting your life force energy as far as an example that I could think of.
It's just interesting to think about like what we're capable of and what we could be really using our life force for versus all the shit that's happening in the world.
Versus what we're actually doing with it.
Exactly.
Right. I want to touch briefly on mediumship. And the only reason why is because depending on what side of the aisle you're on, it could technically be considered a psychic ability. I think it falls in line. And I think, Allie, we talked about this. It more or less falls in line with like maybe clairaudience or, you know, clairsentience, depending on how you receive the information. But some people do classify mediumship as a separate gift. And I think specifically the people who can like see them, talk to them, tell how they died, feel how they died, like that can get like the really detailed nitty-gritty information in regards to the deceased entity, which I see why they would classify it that way. I don't know. I go back and forth on mediumship on if it's a separate psychic gift, spiritual gifts. I don't know.
I think that there's gifts outside of the clairs. I think clairs are just tools. And I think that they are just a tool to point us in a direction. But what we do and our frequency and the practice and dedication and you know, whether or not we even are capable is completely up to us at the end of the day. And like what we're willing to explore, what we're willing to practice, because a lot of these teachers claim like, oh, anyone can do this. And we don't, we haven't explored them all to know whether that claim is true or not. And the other thing is like, if anyone can do it, it's like, how skilled are you with your life? Like, how well do you know your life force? How well do you know your body? And how well do you know your energy to be able to manipulate that energy in order to move things with your mind, for example? And so a lot of it is just, in my personal opinion, it's hearsay, and it's also dedication and practice. And really, how well do you know your body?
With that said, I do still want to try telekinesis. Just practice. Like, I don't know, for a couple of weeks, see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like a special technique to it, or like, I don't know how that works. I don't know if they're using their mind or if they're actually projecting their life force energy. I'm sure the technique varies depending on who the quote unquote coach is, but I'd be willing to try it out for a little bit, let you guys know.
I also have a lot of other questions and a lot of other factors too. It's like, I think that there's a lot of things that you also have to take into account for that people may not talk about, right? It's like, I know people say that they have heightened experiences if they're on psychedelics, but I don't think people publicly say that. So I also wonder, like, you know, what type of outside help are you getting? It's not just coming from your life force. And I'm not making that claim that people can't, that it can't come from your life force. It's just, I know people who are just like, oh my God, when I take psychedelics, like everything's heightened and I feel like I can do anything. And I mean, that's what it does, right? Like psychedelics are known to like remove the block. And so I'm just saying, if you need that assistance to remove the block, it's like, what can be done with outside help versus someone just being like, no, I taught myself. I learned it myself and I used my life force.
Speaking of psychedelics, your girl is going to dive into some microdosing to help uncover some additional blocks. And I was doing a little bit of research into microdosing, and they recommend that you use a compound called psilocybin, which comes from magic mushrooms, specifically for microdosing, because I guess it's easier to dose versus like some of the other psychedelics like LSD or MDMA is one of them, I think. So I'm going to explore that bandwagon and also report back on some of my findings. I was looking into programs because the way it works is you're supposed to microdose over a series of weeks. You integrate it into your daily, you know, your daily lives, your daily schedule. The programs I was looking at were quite pricey. And these were American prices. So we're talking like 6 weeks, $800, you know, 10 weeks, $1,000. So I'm going to try to explore that here in Colombia and see if it might be easier to find, you know, a little bit more affordable microdosing, someone, just a coach to like guide me through the process and someone I can report back to. And I will share all my results in future podcast episodes. So stay tuned.
It's going to be an interesting journey for sure. I don't know what, I mean, it's different for everyone. So most people have very positive experiences. Unfortunately, some, very few, have bad experiences with it. But I also feel like, you know, being inexperienced and not knowing what you're doing and knowing the correct doses and top of like, where is your mental state when you drop? And there's a lot of other factors involved for people who have had bad trips.
Yes. And some of the research I did, like they kind of talk about how you can prepare so that you are less likely to have a bad trip, but they don't obviously can't guarantee that you won't, but apparently there are ways that you can prepare. I'm not macrodosing right now. I'm just, you know, more or less interested in microdosing. But if you do macrodose, definitely look up ways that you can prepare and like prepare your body, prepare your mind. for the process, because apparently that's supposed to help. Again, you know, I'm just getting into some of this information.
It does help.
So, yeah.
It does help a lot, actually. Like, there's just a lot of, like, there's supplements you can take. There's also eating clean is really important. And I don't think people, like, know that, like, these little things, like, you want to go unhydrated. You want to have a very clean meal. You want to take supplements that help with the afterglow and the aftermath of the trip. And, like, there's a lot of people, I think, are just like, hey, we're heading to a party. I got this. Do you want to take it? And, you know, I don't think people are thinking like, oh, I really want to prep my mind and my body. Like, I just want to take this party drug and go and have a good time.
That's exactly what's happening. And a lot of the stories I read about around the bad trips were just like that. Like, they're going to a party or at a concert or something like that. And something shifts. And then it's just like downhill from there. So,
right. So it is important to do your research. It is important to do your research. It is important to not, and like your body and weight, like your weight, your size, all that matters in a dosage. And I don't think people like realize that. Like, I think if it's used effectively and taken seriously, it is actually an amazing experience. But, you know, I mean, most of the time these drugs are used for, you know, concerts, raves, you know, festivals, music festivals. And so people are just like, no, I'm here to have a good time.
Right. So, wow, that was a whole tangent. We were talking about the Clairs and then dove into psychedelics, which could also be its own episode.
Yeah, a lot of people like have, especially like, I think Joe Rogan, because people are just, you know, people enjoy his podcast. And so many people are like, oh, the DMT. And like, so many people have heard this from the Joe Rogan show. And I was just like, oh, what has he started?
Oh, there's a total resurgence of interest in psychedelics, not only like recreationally, but medically. So there's a lot of studies going on around studying compounds like LSD to see if it helps with mental health issues and that kind of thing. And some of that stuff is actually really promising. So I'm hoping that'll shift the landscape when it comes to using these compounds for medicinal and mental health healing purposes.
Well, there is also a whole conspiracy that the reason why, you know, governments have banned these drugs is like they don't look at the benefits of it, but because they want to keep people in the lower vibrational states. They don't want people to awaken because that's exactly what these drugs do.
That makes total sense. And I would absolutely 100% believe that.
Right. And so they don't care about people's mental health and they don't care like how you're going to heal and awaken. They're just like, no, we don't want you to awaken, because the more awakened you are, it's like they the less control they have over you, and they want as much control over you as possible.
Absolutely. I could totally see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always been very like cautious about these, because I mean, that's what they teach us in school. Like, don't do drugs. Like, they're really bad for you. Like the bad trips, and you hear about the bad trips and you're like, oh my God, I could be permanently damaging my brain and all this stuff. And so it kind of keeps you in this place of like, on top of them being illegal, it kind of keeps you in this place of, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be doing illegal drugs. I'm just like, what if I get caught? What if I have a bad trip? And then what if I permanently damage my brain? What if this? And then it just kind of keeps you like very turned off from the experience until you actually do it. And then you're just like, oh, wait. Like, you're like, everything just becomes differently. You become like, your senses become more heightened. And things start to make sense, and you start to see the world differently, which is exactly what they don't want you to do.
Absolutely. I have experienced that on a very subtle level with marijuana that has psychedelic properties, like that insight and aha and like shit makes sense. And at the same time, I'm completely high. So I don't often remember the insights I have. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But very specific strains of marijuana can give a similar effect. Now, it wasn't like I was seeing, you know, colors and trippy stuff. It was all mental. So That's also possible with specific strains of marijuana, if you can find the ones that do have the psychedelic properties.
So that's just kind of our take on psychedelics. I've been trying to get Tiara to be open to the idea for actually a few years now. So I'm really excited to hear about her journey, to see how it develops and things that kind of come up in her, because that's exactly like when administered and done properly, that's what's supposed to happen.
Right. So I know we kind of did an offshoot into psychedelics. That'll probably be its own separate episode. I think the bigger question is if using psychedelics can affect the Claires in some type of way. I mean, obviously, if you're going into a macro dose and you're having a full trip, yeah.
Yeah, no, they definitely do.
An expansion of the Claires, like, yeah. 100%.
Oh, yeah. I would say that, like, psychedelics was a huge factor in my spiritual awakening. Massive.
I think it is for many who do it at the macro level and are able to integrate whatever they discovered, because not everyone can integrate posts, but if you're right. able to, then
and
yeah.
I was, which is probably why I ascended as quickly as I have.
Yeah, I could see that.
Which is why I've been encouraging Tiara to have an open mind about it. You know, because she had the very same outlook I did. Like, it was a kind of always a turnoff, and we knew it was illegal. And it's like, well, we focus more on the negative what ifs. And it's just like, it's not worth the risk, if you ask me. Permanently altering my brain or having like psychosis, it's not worth it to me. Thanks. So it's always been a really big turnoff to me until someone introduced it to me and was like, just try it. Start with microdosing and see what happens.
Oh, you did start with microdosing.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I thought you just dove right in.
So anyway, thank you everyone for listening to our rant about psychedelics. We didn't mean for it to go there. And we hope that you learned something from the clairsenses and how they're used and how we incorporate them like into our spiritual journey and how we incorporate them into our spiritual gifts and our everyday lives, because they are actually quite significant in many ways. And it's just bringing that awareness to them and knowing that they're there and how to utilize them. And there are other, obviously, gifts out there that might not be tied to the clairs. Tiara and I have to do more research on that. But we do want to do a separate episode on spiritual gifts and explore other spiritual gifts, because there are many.
Absolutely. So we will return back to this topic. But in the meantime, thank you guys for tuning in. We are going to at some point dive into more exploration of empathy and clair empathy and all the subcategories, as I mentioned earlier, just because there's a lot there. And we might also have a guest on to talk about his perspective. So lots to look forward to.
Absolutely.
Thanks, you guys. Bye-bye.